Just like that, into hour three. It's a three-hour program. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and I am really happy to be here. What's up? Welcome to the show, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Telephone number toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Your phone call is coming up momentarily, but as promised, we are joined by a running back for the Carolina Panthers. He had 39 yards from scrimmage. He had a couple of TDs in last week's game against Chicago. He had 1,018 rushing yards, 7 rushing TDs at Georgia last season. Undrafted in this year's draft, Buffalo is at Carolina Friday night. We are joined by Panthers running back Elijah Holyfield. Elijah, great to have you on. How are you?
How you doing, sir? Doing great.
Good, good. So you've been playing football for quite some time, obviously, but we're talking about you taking the next step, doing it at the NFL level. How would you describe an NFL training camp to somebody who's never been a part of it?
Very, very intense, very taxing on your body as well as your brain, very tiring. Sometimes you're not, you know, always in the most comfortable bed as a rookie. So just very long, but once you get kind of the hang of it, you kind of pick up, you know, little tips from veterans and stuff like that, it becomes a little bit easier.
I like it. Well said. Now, you had a strong performance, as I mentioned, against Chicago in week 1 of the preseason, but it did not get off to the start that you would have liked. You fumbled in the second quarter, which was only your first fumble since your sophomore year at Georgia. It seems like it would have been pretty easy to get down on yourself and let that mistake turn into a disaster, but that's not what happened. You bounced right back. You had a couple of TDs. How were you able to turn that around so quickly?
I would say it's been long. At one point in my life, I would have got down on myself and I would have kind of folded and shied away. But, you know, just trying to go deep in myself and realizing, you know, I only have so many opportunities and this may be my last one, that I should take full advantage of it. You know, I can't control what happened in the past, and I just try to move on from there.
Elijah Holyfield joining me. So, you know, when you came back to the sideline, some of your guys, some of your teammates were picking you up after the fumble, cheering you on, kind of lifting you up a little bit. What did that mean to you in that moment?
It meant a lot because, you know, I didn't know how they would, you know, some teams react different to things like that. Some teams, you know, I've been a part of teams where, you know, people get mad and stuff like that, and it's not a very uplifting situation. But, you know, in this scenario, they were very uplifting, and it was a big part of me, like, being able to flush it and get back to work.
All right, so then you get back to work, and on the team's final drive, you're at the Chicago 20. You pick up 9 yards on first down, then 11 more for a TD, and on top of that, there was a punt return where you took a couple of guys out. You triggered a strong return that had the special teams coordinator all fired up. Overall, how pleased were you with how you played and the way you responded to that challenge?
I was proud of myself about the way I responded. I was still kind of upset after the game for the fact that I did fumble. So just trying to work to clean that up. You know, and when I'm in traffic, trying to cover the ball more, trying to figure out ways I can protect the ball.
Elijah Holyfield joining me right now. Now, you played SEC football, so you're used to playing on big stages. How did it feel to put on the pads and a helmet for an NFL game for the first time? Did it feel like another day at the office, or was it special?
When I first went out there, it was a little weird. Just, you know, just looking at the other team and just realizing that, okay, I'm in the NFL now, you know. That's the biggest difference. That was the biggest thing I had to comprehend. And once I got in the game and started playing, it was just like playing. We haven't been tackled our training camp up until that point. So just getting used to getting back to getting tackled, stuff like that.
All right, so if we go back a little bit, you had a strong season at Georgia, and then you went undrafted. I would imagine that was not what you hoped for, obviously. What was it like when that happened and you went through that? Did that put a chip on your shoulder?
I've always had a kind of chip on my shoulder, you know, for as long as I can remember. So when it happened, I kind of just took it as it was. And either way, I knew I was going to be on the team, and I knew I could go to work whenever I went on the team.
All right, so if you've always had that chip, where did the chip first come from?
It's like, you know, it's just, you know, it's a buildup of a lot of things, you know, of a lot of misconceptions of me and people saying certain things and, you know, just the way I was raised. You know, I've always, you know, kind of been an underdog in situations, and I've always found a way to get on, to figure it out.
So why don't you give me a misconception or two? Like, what did people not know about you that you wanted them to know about you? What were they wrong about?
You know, a lot of people, you know, just with everything, you know, some people say I can't catch, some people say I'm not very fast, some people say, you know, different things about me, and, you know, with that, I don't really want to say anything back to them. I just want to go out there and play the best I can play and then prove them wrong for that.
Elijah Holyfield joining me. So the story goes that you celebrated signing with the Panthers by doing 254 reps of glute ham raises, one for every player who got picked ahead of you. It's pretty impressive. How did that workout feel?
Probably one of the hardest workouts of my life. He didn't tell me how many I was doing, and that's kind of how we train. I never know exactly how many I'm doing. I just, you know, do it till he says stop. And so I didn't even know that until he told me.
So would you rather know how many you're doing so you can kind of prepare yourself for it, or if you knew, would that make it harder?
It definitely would make it harder if I knew, but that's part of our training. The way I train the mind is no matter what, you get full effort regardless.
Right now, your head coach, Ron Rivera, has talked about your physicality, how hard you work, the fact that he says you're a scrapper. And coming from a tough guy like that, that's really high praise. What's it mean to you to hear that from him?
It does mean a lot. Whenever your work goes noticed, it always kind of makes it feel like it was worth doing all the stuff that you did to get to the point. So just trying to keep that going, trying to work as hard as I can to make the speed.
Listen, I want to give another example of your physicality. One of your trademarks is your physicality. Kirby Smart tells the story that when you were in a pass protection drill in fall camp as a freshman, quote, we blitzed a linebacker up the middle on him. He just stoned the guy right in the A-gap. I walked over to him. I jabbed him. I told him I bet he couldn't do it again. Next time he buries the guy again, he jogged by, he smiled at me and said, I told you, there is no fear in him, end quote. So how would you describe the approach that it takes on the field when it comes to physicality and your approach to that?
When I step on the field, I feel like I'm the most physical person on the field. It's obviously times in the NFL where somebody could get the best of you, but I like to think I get the best of anybody in a one-on-one match.
Now, Elijah, I think that obviously a lot of people know, most people know about your father. What was it like growing up the son of a legend like Evander Holyfield?
It was pretty cool. You know, I'm very blessed. I've got to see a lot of things when I was young, and you know that a lot of other people probably couldn't do when they were young. So I would just say more than anything, it was blessed. I was blessed.
That's the thing, and that's really impressive. But I want to say one more thing that I'm really impressed by. Tell me if it's true. Is it true that you trained in Taekwondo with former Pittsburgh Steeler Greg Lloyd, and that you won multiple national titles? And if that's so, what was it like to work with him?
Yeah, that is true. Not a lot of people know that. I was very young when I did Taekwondo, but it was great. You know, he instilled a lot of discipline in me. He's very hard on me when I was young. But I would say he helped a lot more than he probably knows.
Dude, I would imagine growing up the son of the champ, you were exposed to a lot of different athletes, a lot of celebrities. I have to tell you, when I was a young journalist or a young talk show host, when I first got in, I sat down, I interviewed Greg Lloyd in person in a TV set, and my man came in like sleeveless. Elijah, I have never been as intimidated by a dude as I was Greg Lloyd, right? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
100%. My man. You're used to being around alphas. My man had presence. I haven't seen him lately. My man had some presence.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad you understand that. All right, so Carolina Panthers running back, Elijah Holyfield, my guest. Buffalo is at Carolina on Friday. Elijah, great to have you on the show. Good luck with everything. I know you're working hard to make that thing work, and it's really good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Elijah Holyfield. Love the way he bounced back. You know, you imagine if you're a young guy like that trying to make a team and you put it on the ground and you know that you're going to get limited opportunities, for him to bounce back to score a couple of – thanks, Alvin. Score a couple of TDs was huge. Greg Lloyd, he was so awesome. I used to love watching him play. I used to love watching him play, and I couldn't wait to sit down to talk to him. And he showed up on the set of Talk 2 on ESPN2, sleeveless. Man, I had never seen a dude as yoked as he was. And he was all bleeping business. Those Steeler linebackers back in the day were something else. Kevin Green, Greg Lloyd, LeVon Kirkland, my man Joey Porter. Let's not forget about him. Chad Brown. 1-800-636-8686. We can go way back. You want to talk Steeler linebackers. Terry Bradshaw was on our podcast before I went to the break. Jack Hamm, Jack Lambert, Andy Russell. Go back in the secondary. Donnie Shell, Mel Blount, Tony Dungy. That's not me flexing, man. I was a huge Steeler fan growing up. Good times. Elijah Holyfield, the son of the champ. Man, that's a very humble young guy. If memory serves, he was born not long after the bite fight. You remember when Mike Tyson fought Evander Holyfield, and most assumed that Mike Tyson, even though when Mike Tyson got out of prison, he was not the same fighter he was going into prison, but everybody had that recollection of Mike being the baddest guy ever. And Mike was just going to blow Evander Holyfield out. He was going to go right through him. And I'll never forget that when he started wailing on Evander, and Evander did not take a step back, I was like, damn. Damn, I went to the fight. And I was like, damn, this is amazing. Like, Mike had so many guys beaten just by virtue of him stepping between the ropes. People were terrified of Mike. I'd never seen anything like it. Like, alphas, heavyweight contenders, literally were terrified of Mike. That's how bad Mike was, how scary Mike was back in the day. And I remember thinking, and a lot of people thought so, that Evander Holyfield just had no shot. And Mike goes in there and just starts wailing, and Evander doesn't take a step back. Like, Evander was not afraid. That whole thing about how do you deal with a bully, man? Punch him in the face. Evander understood that. And then Mike didn't know what to do. Mike had no plan B. Going back to our take on swatting, at Steve PHX tweets, when the SWAT team had their guns on that Fortnite gamer, did he build a wood wall in front of himself? Well played, Steve. Hey, Rome. Did you say the Kardashians' yacht pulled up to the same city that you were in? Was there a run on penicillin at the local pharmacy? Dan in Richmond. Also well played. I don't know. I'll tell you something else amazing about that trip. Not only did the Kardashian yacht allegedly pull up, I'm not about the boat life, although we had a couple of boat trips, but I have never seen yachts like the yachts I saw in Capri. Like, some of the biggest boats in the world show up that time of year. It's the season. If the Kardashians are there, you know it's the season. Something else I noticed when I fired up my phone when I got off the airplane, I noticed my gal Holly Robinson. Holly Robinson Pete was in Capri the day before I got there. So I texted her and I said, Holly, are you in Capri? She was so funny. She's like, new phone. Who is this? So funny. I'm like, Holly, it's Jim Rome. She's like, Romy. Yeah, we are. What's up? I'm like, I'm going to be there tomorrow. How long are you going to be there? And she said, I have to check. Which I thought was a little bit unusual because Holly's in charge now. Like Holly knows everything. Holly's got the answer to everything. Quote, I had to check. I said, okay, what's up? She's like, I have to check with Captain Magic. She was on Irv's yacht. So you've got, and I don't know how long they stayed. I didn't see them. The Kardashian yacht pulled up. Irv's yacht pulled up. That's big time now. So I don't know who else's boat was there. I know Eric in Orlando is going to call pretty soon to break down their boats. Dude, these aren't boats. They're yachts. All right? I don't want to hear about your 50-foot, your 52-foot Sunseeker. I'm talking freaking yachts. And when I say yachts, I mean not multi-million-dollar boats, multi-hundred-million-dollar boats. But then again, Eric in Orlando, in his defense, my man does not fish on boats. He fishes on boats.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Hey, Matt, let me tell you something, jerk. Do I look like a guy who fishes on boats? I don't fish on boats, a-hole. I fish on boats.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Let me tell you something else, Matt. My name is not Eric in Orlando. My name is Eric in Orlando.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
I'll tell you something else, D-bag. I don't live in Orlando, damn it. I live in Orlando.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Let me tell you something, man. You call me by my name. My name is not Eric. My name is Eric.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Hey, Matt, look at me. Look at me, bag. I don't fish, all right? I fish.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Let me tell you something, Matt. Your name ain't Matt. It's Matt, all right?
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Hey, Matt. It's not a boat, all right? It's a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
At Hitman Canadian, in on Twitter, quote, Jim Rome would never leave me on the table, signed the missing MacBook Pro. Right, how good is this? So we put a phone call in. They haven't emailed me back about my computer that the cops are holding. And I'd already responded with, here's the serial number. Here is the password. It says Jim Rome on the login. All right? And I'm still waiting. Nothing. We put in a phone call today. They tried to enter my password and it didn't work. And they're like, you can't have it back without the password. Are you kidding me? I may be making a drive up to the cops, or we'll see. I'm still working it. That's the update. When we return, 1-800-636-8686. Adam Gaze, he is who we thought he was. He is who we thought he was. That's coming up. Matt in L.A. is making a road trip, apparently. Wonder what that's about. Self-Gloss Friday. One segment. Remember that. Sugar Ray Leonard, the guest of the Jim Rome podcast tomorrow. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. 2019 NFL season kicking off in less than a month. Just over 3 weeks, in fact. I'll tell you why that's significant momentarily. At Famous Mailman 23 tweets, people died. Yeah, but we won. Sign Ray Lewis. Bro, you're not famous for your tweets. I know that. It's just not funny, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm more mature. Maybe I'm just more intelligent. It's just not funny. Jokes about dead people are not funny. Not here, not there. Probably not even on your route, bro. Those of you making jokes about where Ike is today, Ike is taking care of some personal business, family business, serious business. I'm not going to come down on you for that because you didn't know that, but he's got an official day off. That's why the guy with the big head's here. Let's go to the phones. Matt in L.A., apparently on a roadie. Matt, what's up? How you doing?
James. From Tokerville, Utah to Timbuktu, from Cedar City to Croatia. You're welcome. The CBS Sportsnet is reigning supreme with a brand new Hall of Famer by the name of Jim Rome, as usual. 24/7 on the 365. Hey, Jim, we all know you've been a Hall of Famer for decades, but it was great that you finally got the acknowledgement from the actual Radio Hall of Fame. So, hey, congratulations, my man. Got to point out a couple of things, though. You know, it wouldn't be a Matt in L.A. call if I didn't go with a few sports takes. It's interesting to hear your update guy say that the Phillies are bringing in fossilized Charlie Manuel to work on Wolfman Bryce and his swing, man. We'll see. I mean, when was the last time Charlie Manuel was in a baseball uniform? Respect the dude, but I don't know, man. We'll see how that experiment goes. The Dodgers are rolling, Romy. I don't know if you've caught in this kid, Dustin May, man, but he's the real deal, man. Like firecracker out of Texas, and we'll check it out, man. Dude's throwing like 100-plus. That's what we need coming out of the bully here. That's all I got. We're the Jungle Baseball Group. We're the Jungle Fantasy Football Group with my man Josh in Detroit. That's all I got, Jim. Outro.
Appreciate you, Matt. Thank you very much. And I appreciate the kind words about the Hall of Fame. That was nice. And don't forget, because I found out that I'm going in, you get a self-gloss Friday. Not a Friday, but a self-gloss segment. I should probably put it that way. Self-gloss segment on Friday. Rome, tragic on a yacht? I thought he always traveled by bus to make it easier to roll over his colleagues. Signed, Rob Lowe Palenka. Taylor in Lexington. I don't know what this is all about. Like, that's pretty good, too. I don't ever remember a day where I thought that I had more than one good submission. You take all the tweets and all the emails together, and generally I get one or two good submissions a day. I'm going to say I've had two or three today. Tragic on a yacht. I thought he always traveled by bus to make it easier to roll over his colleagues. Signed, Rob Lowe Palenka. Lexington, baby. Lex Vegas coming with the content. Nice job. Adam Hawk, checking in with you. Who do you like better on the phones? You're the one who screened them. All right, Hawk. I'm not saying that this is on you if this doesn't work. What I'm saying is this is on you if it doesn't work. What I'm saying is it's your ass, Hawk. Let's go to Pensacola. Casey. Hey, what could go wrong? Casey in Pensacola. What could go wrong? Hey, Casey, what's up?
Hey, Romy, what's up, man? Welcome back.
Thank you very much. How you doing?
I was listening a minute ago, and I heard somebody say that there was a shortage of penicillin when the Kardashian yacht rolled up. What he meant to say was there was a shortage of petersillin, because if they had as many sticking out of them as they had stuck in them, they'd look like a porcupine.
Alvin, like how long were you going to let that go?
I don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Alvin, do you like working here? I know I do. And you get the sense that if I don't work here, maybe you won't work here? All right, then. It's Casey in Pensacola talking about, anyway, that call. If that call were 10 seconds, it was 9.5 seconds too long. And Hawk, did you not ask that guy what he wanted to talk about? Listen, I'm hosting the show, right? It's got my name on it. I'm responsible for it. I cannot screen the calls and host the show at the same time, dummy. It's you, Hawk. And Alvin, you should know better, man. Alvin, quote, "I didn't know what petersillin was," is no excuse. I think we all know what Peter Sillon is. Young man. When we return, if I don't do it this segment, it's not going to hold till tomorrow. My thoughts on Adam Gase and that profile piece that was in The Athletic. This guy is who we thought he was. Right now it's time for a sports update. If you're wondering what's going on, you're about to find out. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Good day today. Mike Gundy made it back in. We had Neil Brown, first-year head coach at West Virginia. Elijah Holyfield, Carolina Panthers running back. We've got a self-gloss segment on Friday. I've got a podcast with Sugar Ray Leonard tomorrow. And I'm back from vacation, gearing up for the NFL season and the college football season. And picking up on one thing, the NFL season starts now in just over 3 weeks, officially, Thursday, September 5th. But you would think it was already the playoffs if you maintain a Google News alert on New York Jets head coach Adam Gase. Especially last week. Me, I do. I do keep that Google alert. So even though I lost my laptop, I did get a Croatian laptop. I rocked that thing while I was on vacation, and I've got that Google alert set. Old golf ball eyes had himself a hell of a 48 hours when The Athletic dropped a profile piece on him last week, midweek. Then he debuted as the Jets head coach in their preseason opener a day later on Thursday. So obviously no coincidence. That was planned perfectly. Let me start with the profile piece in The Athletic. It unearthed some amazing gems about the 40-year-old who has some extremely peculiar, if not alarming, eating, sleeping, and working habits. Look, it's pretty common for football coaches to spend way too much time at the office obsessing over everything. Game planning, tape, every minute detail, every stone has to be turned over. I mean, this is not unusual. Coaches sleeping at the facility. But even by those standards, Adam Gase might be in a league of his own. In an industry where guys work way too many hours and do crazy things, this guy might be an outlier. The article spends some time on his days in Miami as the Dolphins head coach. And it says that Gase lived across the street from his then offense coordinator, Dow Loggins. Straight from the piece, quote, "Sometimes Loggins would be jostled awake after midnight by his wife," quote, "Adam's at the door," she would say. Adam's at the door. Forget texting. Forget, I don't know, picking up the phone and calling. Never mind emailing. Adam Gase would walk across the street from his house to his OC's place, post up at the front door, and wait to be let in after midnight. And apparently didn't really care who he was waking up in the process. And this happened more than once, apparently. Look, we all know the feeling of getting hit up from our boss outside of work hours. Yeah, well, go ahead and ratchet that feeling up about a million times and imagine your boss showing up on your doorstep. Not only on your doorstep, but showing up on your doorstep after midnight wanting to do work. And not because his car broke down. His car didn't break down. He wasn't just robbed. His roof was not on fire. This guy showed up at your house in the middle of the night because he wants to do work. Look, I understand that moving is the biggest pain in the ass ever. Moving homes sucks. I've done it not that many times, and every time I've done it, it sucked. But how Dow Loggins did not put up a for sale sign in his yard, pack up, and move to a new hood the very second the Gase showed up at his doorstep, I have no idea. Kenny Stills told The Athletic that he had to tell Adam Gase to stop texting him after midnight because he kept waking him up. Mike Tannenbaum, who worked with him in Miami, said, quote, "You would get these texts from him until 4 in the morning on a regular basis." So this dude's texting coworkers at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's showing up and banging on their front door in the middle of the night. But that's not all. It gets even more bizarre. The piece also says that Gase slugs down 5 to 6 20-ounce cups of coffee a day from a Keurig machine that he keeps at his desk. No wonder homeboy's eyes were bugging out of his head back in January. The simple math would suggest that's 100 to 120 ounces of Joe every single day. And he doesn't even bother getting up to fuel up. Instead, he just mainlines caffeine from his desk in an office that The Athletic says has no window. This way, he has no idea whether it's day or night. He doesn't know when day turns to night and when night turns to day. It's like he's in a casino in Vegas with no clocks and no windows. He doesn't know. And they're just pumping oxygen in there. And apparently, he ate nothing but pepperoni pizza every night. His head coach of the Dolphins.
Crazy Eyes. How you doing, pal? I got your pizza for you just the way you like it.
Yeah, Crazy Eyes. Here's your pepperoni. Just the way you like it, Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes. Why don't you mix in sausage once in a while?
Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes. How about one of those vegetarian cheeseless pizzas?
Crazy Eyes.
Crazy Eyes. You eat it every night. That's not some throwaway line either. Dude was coaching the Dolphins for 3 years. He ate pizza every night, apparently. That whole line about, hey, man, I could eat pizza every night. He did. He did. Not sleeping, showing up on doorsteps in the middle of the night, crushing pizza, shotgunning tanks of coffee. It's wild. I had this dude, it's one of my favorite stories. I knew a guy once, back in the day, 90s, who owned a business. And he had a bunch of sales reps in this business. And it was high pressure, high pressure. I don't want to say it was a boiler room, but high pressure. And he was a young guy, and like an athlete, really fit guy, motivated guy. But all of a sudden, he showed up, and he had like this lump, this giant golf ball-sized lump, in fact, like in his throat, the side of his neck or something. And it came out of nowhere. And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor's asking him a bunch of questions, running him through a battery of tests. And he said, "Do you drink coffee?" And he said, yeah, I drink coffee. He's like, "How much?" He goes, "Two." "Two? Like two cups?" "No, man, like two pots." He goes, "You better stop doing that. Man, that lump might get smaller if you stop drinking two pots of coffee a day. Gaze, it might not just be your eyes, dude. If this guy shows up with like a Haseem Rahman on his forehead or his neck, we'll know why." Anyway, like the next anecdote, though, this is not unheard of, right? Coaches work hard, they work late, they eat like crap, and they smash coffee. This is not unheard of. However, this next anecdote is what cements the work-life imbalance, or at least my takeaway from the article. This came right out of the article, word for word. Quote, "Every Tuesday, when he was in Denver, Gaze met with Peyton Manning at 2 p.m., except this Tuesday, when Jennifer was delivering their son Wyatt by cesarean section. Gaze told his wife to schedule the operation for 10 a.m., so they pulled the baby out of me and said, 'It's a boy,' Jennifer says. 'They didn't even put my organs back and sew me up before Adam was like, "You good?" I said, "Yeah, I'm good." He said, "All right, then I'm out." They said, "You want to cut the umbilical cord?" Adam said, "No, I'm good." At 2 p.m., Manning was stunned to find Gaze waiting for him in the meeting room. Word for word, out of the piece. So dude didn't just make it to his weekly meeting. He beat the other guy there, and he left his wife, whose guts were still out on the operating room table, to haul ass back to the facility so he wouldn't miss the meeting. Look, I mean, that's grounds for divorce in most households. But apparently that's just par for the course in the Gaze family residence. Imagine how hard this guy laughed when Broncos HR told him about paternity leave. He probably thought that was the funniest joke ever. The most surprising part of the entire article, though, is that Gaze did not name his son football. So again, that piece dropped last Wednesday. The entire world learned that Gaze drinks 120 ounces of Joe every single day, doesn't sleep, left his wife and son minutes after a C-section, and then the Jets play the Giants in their first preseason game on Thursday. If you haven't seen Adam Gaze since, a couple of Pro V1s exploded from his eye sockets back in January, you probably wouldn't recognize the guy. My man's got the full Matt Patricia look going with that grizzly Adams beard. And I have to admit, Gaze is like the only guy I've ever seen who actually looks younger with a beard. He looks like a decade younger. But Thursday was not about the beard reveal. Nope. Thursday was about the cameras that were on the Gaze pregame at the absolute perfect time. Because right as the broadcast was doing an extended shot of Gaze, he did an extended shot of smelling salts.
Wake up! Wake up!
Wake up! Woo!
Clear as day, my man puts the salts to his beak and takes a giant huff. And his giant eyes roll to the back of his head. He violently shakes his dome. He tosses the salts on the ground and then is grinning ear to ear. My man hit the ammonia inhalant. And he did it in week one of the preseason. What the hell is this guy going to do in 4 weeks when it counts? Hit himself with the paddles? Hook up jumper cables to his nips? Hey, big fella, pace yourself. You know, like Mike Vrabel volunteering to lop off his Johnson in July for a Super Bowl. Man, save some of that for when it counts. I'm not going to lie. I'm more intrigued by this guy now than ever before. The bugged out eyes, the vats and vats and vats of coffee, the no window in the office, the ditching of his wife at a C-section, the smelling salts for a pregame pick-me-up in week one of the preseason. Man, my man is working really, really hard for somebody who's got a 23-25 head coaching record. Imagine what that record would look like if he didn't do all that stuff. But then again, I guess when you've coached two teams in the Brady Belichick division, you really can't afford to sleep. You can't afford to sleep or stick around to cut the cord on your newborn son. That's 2 seconds where you could have been game planning. Here's some unsolicited advice. Maybe mix in a visit to the doctor and make sure that ticker is doing what it should be doing, considering the diet of coffee, pizza, no sleep, and smelling salts. I mean, you got to wonder how close this guy was to trying meth when he found out that Tom Brady got that contract extension. Imagine what this guy's reaction was when he first heard that Brady was going to play till he was 45.
Crazy eyes.
Here's your pie.
Crazy eyes.
Here's your pie. Extra pepperoni. This tweet says, Jim O's, screw the 20 cups of Keurig. Weak sauce. I can help Adam Gay stay awake. Sincerely, Chris Forrester. If I'm not mistaken, he was his O-line coach there. I wonder if he ever just walked into Forrester's office. I mean, coffee? That much coffee? Anyway, at Hitman Canadian, the reason I'm not going to read this tweet is not because I've already read two of your tweets. It's because you reference Sandy Duncan. Unless our topic is wheat thins, there is no reason you should ever reference Sandy Duncan. Now ask yourself, are you making the show better or are you making the show worse? Music to my ears. Because that means we're done. Not because I don't want to work, but because I'm done looking at all this. Hey, honey, I know you got to get back to work. Is there a way that you maybe might scrape up that placenta off the floor? I don't know. Maybe just cut the cord. I mean, literally cut the cord. The umbilical cord. No, man, I can't cut the cord. I got to watch CBS Sports Network. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, the baby's cord. We've all done it. Now I'm done. My thanks to Mike Gundy, Neil Brown, Elijah Hoyfield. I'd like to thank myself for doing a really nice show today. Hope you enjoyed that. More of the same tomorrow. See you then. We're out.